The Spickelmeyers are off on their Christmas vacation this week, and so we have a guest speaker, Paul Ramo, the radio personality you've all heard of and have you know, been amazed at. So let's give Paul a round of applause. There you go. Give him some encouragement as he comes up. Thanks, Paul.
Yeah, thank you.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
This is on. Happy New Year's to everyone. Are you happy?
Yeah.
All right, that's good. So, show of hands, how many people made it to midnight last night? Okay, how many people fell asleep before midnight last night? Oh, look at all the hands. Old people. Yeah. So, you know, when we were doing the worship songs, I was looking at this huge nativity scene that we have, beautiful nativity scene. And who did that? Who put that together? Isn't that wonderful? Beautiful? Give him a hand. Who? Denise. Good job, Denise. It's beautiful, isn't it? That's awesome.
Hand-painted every piece.
You did? Good. Nice job. Well, this morning when I was getting ready, Roxy asked me, "Are you nervous?" I said, "No." She goes, "Are you going to cry?" I said, "Yeah, I'm going to cry." Get that out of the way right away. Okay. I always like to start out something a little funny, and I heard this a couple weeks ago, and so we're going to start with this morning. A woman just returned to her home from an evening of church services when she was startled by an intruder. She caught the man in the act of robbing her home and its valuables, and she yelled, "Stop!" Acts 2:38. That verse says, "Repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ so that your sins may be forgiven." The burglar stopped in his tracks. The woman calmly called the police and explained what she had done. As the officer cuffed him to take him in, he asked the burglar, "Why did you just stand there? All the old lady did was yell scripture to you." He replied, "Scripture? She said she had an axe and 2.38s. All right, the title of the message today, you like, that was delayed laugh there. Who did that? It's a little slow. Okay. The title of the message today is A Fresh Start. It is January, right? First day of January, a new start to the year. And the health and wellness business bombards us to start new, right? Join a fitness center, start a new diet. Change your old habits into new habits. Now, there's nothing wrong with joining a fitness center and wanting to improve yourself and to want a fresh start. New Year's resolutions are made to improve ourselves. You know what? That only 8% of us will ever keep. Only 8% of people keep their New Year's resolution. So January is sometimes a fresh start for people. This morning, you're going to hear me say that phrase, fresh start, maybe over 50 times. And you're probably going to get really annoyed about it and say, "Paul, stop saying fresh start." So this morning we're going to look at people in the Bible that got a fresh start in life after meeting Jesus and how their lives were dramatically changed. And it wasn't even in January when this happened to them. So I'm excited this morning to share with you two people in the Bible that definitely got a fresh start in life after meeting Jesus. So, let's look at their stories. There's so many people in the New Testament that got a new start in life, that got a fresh start in life after meeting Jesus. There's too many to name, but I picked two. One of them is Mary Magdalene. Who is Mary Magdalene? How did she get a fresh start in life? The Bible, God's Word, tells us this. You know, theologians think Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. Theologians have said that Mary Magdalene was the woman that was going to be stoned at the wall after being caught in adultery. Theologians think Mary Magdalene was the Mary that broke the oil and washed Jesus' feet with her hair. There's no direct scripture for that. But there is some direct scripture about Mary Magdalene. She's mentioned 12 times in the Bible. For sure we know this. Mary Magdalene was a disciple of Jesus. Let's read Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. If you want to go in your Bible, or it'll be up on the screen, I think. Luke. No, I'm just going to read it off the screen. How about that? After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. So, according to the gospel accounts, Jesus cleansed this Mary Magdalene of 7 demons, and she financially aided him in Galilee. She was one of the witnesses, the few disciple witnesses at the crucifixion of Jesus and the burial. And famously, she was the first person to see Jesus after he rose from the dead. How'd you like to be that person, the first person to see Jesus after he rose from the dead? So Mary Magdalene is mentioned in all 4 Gospels as one of several Galilean women who followed Jesus. That we know for sure. So in my research, and I did a lot of research. You know, this is one of my favorite things to do. And Pastor Eric, by the way, I want to thank Pastor Eric for asking me to give the message this morning. Typically, the New Year's Day service is probably the least attended service here at Calvary, but not today. Look at that. Pat yourself on the back. Thanks for coming this morning. So in my research about Mary Magdalene, I came to this one conclusion, that this woman had a very special place in Jesus' small group and Christianity. And she was placed there by God. I think through Mary's eyes, we learn a little more about who Jesus was. You know, Jesus found her at her darkest moment. Who remembers the movie Sybil with Sally Field a long time ago? She was possessed with several, I don't know how many personalities. This is a true story. And you can imagine Mary Magdalene like that, like a Sybil. Maybe worse. She had 7 demons in her. So Jesus found her in her darkest place, and he healed her miraculously. And she was one of his friends and a very faithful follower. So Mary's actions perhaps spoke the loudest out of the disciples. This, you know, the neat story about Mary is knowing that Jesus stood before her in that empty grave, outside the empty grave. You know, she was so grief-stricken with grief because she had died that she didn't even realize he was standing before her. Let's look at John chapter 20, verses 14 through 17. John chapter 20. Oh, there it is. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," Rabbi, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." So as this turns out, you know, what impresses me more about Mary Magdalene, I don't know much about Jewish society back in Jesus' days or what his culture was like. A lot of people study that. I'm not really up to that, but I do know this, that women in Jesus' time weren't on the same level as men. They didn't carry important roles. But this is how radical Jesus is. He makes Mary Magdalene and Joanna and some other women in Jesus' ministry, it's just radical than normal for the time they lived in. Think about that. He elevated these women in his ministry, in his discipleship. And that goes to show every stage of Jesus' steps on earth, he modeled love for everyone, even the least in society. Okay, I'm going to show a very short video. It's about 4 minutes. Let's watch a video from the movie The Chosen, which I enjoy very much. Now remember, this is just a movie and someone's idea of what may have happened. But I show this short video to you about Mary Magdalene, how she was one way, and now she's totally different after meeting Jesus. She gets a fresh start. If you're counting fresh starts, that's 6. In this short video, you will see Nicodemus. Remember who Nicodemus is? The member of the Jewish Sanhedrin? Well, in this video, or before this happens, before the video, Nicodemus and some of the Jewish priests go to Mary and try and do kind of an exorcism on Mary Magdalene. Actually, her name was Lilith at the time. And they burned incense, they tried to do this exorcism, and it really wasn't working out. He didn't know it worked out. So that's what happened before this video. So Nicodemus encountered Mary in the market here on this video, and she has been healed of the 7 demons. You see, before this, Nicodemus and the Jewish priests, like I said, just try to get those demons out of her. But a couple days later, Jesus came along, and the Bible says he drove out the demons from her. Nicodemus heard a rumor that this woman, Mary, said she was healed, and so he went looking for her, and he wanted some answers. So let's watch the video.
It's you. It's real. Lilith. No, no, please, don't be frightened. My name is Nicodemus. I ministered to you, Lilith.
I don't answer to that name. I am Mary. I was born Mary.
But you were called Lilith, yes?
Please, I must go.
No, no, please, Mary. I am desperate for your help, Mary. I'm a Pharisee. I'm visiting from Jerusalem. I'm a man of God. And I believe you have experienced a miracle, Mary.
Are you really a Pharisee?
Yes. I'm sorry, I wasn't. I'm not here to enforce Jewish law.
So how do you know who I am?
You really don't remember me at all. I burned incense.
I don't remember. It's all a blur. Can't go back into that.
No, no, I don't want you to. I can't even imagine. But you are healed. That much is clear. I just want to understand how it happened.
That makes 2 of us.
How long after my visit did you feel the change?
It wasn't anything you did. It was someone else.
Someone else?
He called me Mary. He said, I am his. I am redeemed.
And it was so. This.
I don't know his name. And even if I did, I could not tell you.
Why not?
His time for men to know has not yet come.
His time for men? He performs miracles and seeks no credit? What does he look like? Is he a member of Sanhedrin? Would you at least know him if you saw him again?
I don't know why I am sharing this with you. I don't understand it myself. But here is what I can tell you. I was one way, and now I am completely different. And the thing that happened in between was him. So yes, I will know him for the rest of my life. I have to be home to prepare for Shabbat, as I'm sure you do.
So mended, you're even hosting Shabbat dinner.
It will be nothing like yours, I'm sure of that. I'm going to try. Shabbat shalom, Nicodemus.
Shabbat shalom, Mary.
Okay. Pretty powerful. Mary says, I was one way, and now I'm completely different. I have been redeemed. Mary Magdalene has a fresh start in life after meeting Jesus. Another woman had a fresh start. She is a Samaritan woman at the well. Let's read her story. John chapter 4, verses 1 through 25. This might get a little lengthy, but just stay with me, because there's a big to-do after the verses here. So, woman at the well, John chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. I'm going to read out of my Bible. Now Jesus, I got a different version here, that's okay. I'll read it here. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although, in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon when a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have five husbands, and the man you are now living with is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come that the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." Jesus traveled to Samaria for one purpose, for this woman, for this meeting with this woman. Let's watch the video. It's a short video.
"Would you give me a drink?" Did you hear me?
That bell, huh?
What?
You, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan, and a woman.
I'm sorry. I should have said please.
You know, it's not safe for you to be alone out here.
Nor you. Why haven't you come with others? Why so late in the day? Don't women come to the wells in the cool of the morning?
Yeah, well, none of them will be seen with me, so I have to come at noon, in the heat, as you have so kindly reminded me.
Why won't they be seen with you?
Long story.
I'd still like a drink of water, if you can spare it.
Amazing what a parched throat will do. Aren't I unclean to you? Won't you be defiled by this vessel?
Maybe some of my people say that about your women, but I don't.
Yeah? And what do you say?
I say if you knew who I am, you'd be asking me for a drink.
Really?
And I would give you living water.
Would? Except that you have nothing to draw water with, and this is a deep well. Besides, what do you need from me if you have your own supply of living water?
Long story.
But Jewish water is better than Samaritan water.
That's not what I
said. Are you a better man than our ancestor Jacob, who dug this well? Your water is better than his?
I know Jacob. And everyone who drinks this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks the water that I give him will never be thirsty again.
Wouldn't that be nice?
The water I give will become in a person a spring of water welling up to eternal life.
Really?
Yes, really.
Prove it.
First, go and call your husband and come back. I will show you both.
I don't have a husband.
You are right. You've had 5 husbands. And the man you're living with now is not your husband.
Oh, I see. You're a prophet. You're here to preach at me.
No.
Usually the one good thing about coming here alone is I can escape being condemned.
I'm not here to condemn you.
I've made mistakes. Too many. But it's men like you who have made it impossible for me to do anything about it.
How?
Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain. But you Jews insist Jerusalem is the only place for true worship.
They say that because the temple is there.
Exactly where we're not allowed.
I'm here to break those barriers. And the time is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father.
So, where am I supposed to go when I need God? I've never received anything from God, but I couldn't thank him even if I did.
Anywhere. God is spirit. And the time is coming and is now here. That it won't matter where you worship, but only that you do it in spirit and truth. Heart and mind, that is the kind of worshiper he's looking for. It won't matter where you're from or what you've done. Do you believe what I'm telling you?
Until the Messiah comes and explains everything and sorts this mess out, including me, I don't trust in anyone.
You're wrong when you say that you've never received anything from God. This Messiah you speak of, I am he. The first one was named Ramin. You were a woman of purity who was excited to be married. But he wasn't a good man. He hurt you. And it made you question marriage and even the practice of your faith.
Stop it.
The second was Farzad. On your wedding night, his skin smelled like oranges. And to this day, every time you pass by the oranges in the market, you feel guilty for leaving him. Because he was the only truly godly man you've been with. But you felt unworthy.
Why are you doing this?
I have not revealed myself to the public as the Messiah. You are the first. It would be good if you believed me.
You picked the wrong person.
I came to Samaria just to meet you. Do you think it's an accident that I'm here in the middle of the day?
I am rejected by others.
I know, but not by the Messiah.
And you know these things because you are the Christ. I'm going to tell everyone.
I was counting on it.
Spirit and truth.
Spirit and truth.
It won't be all about mountains or temples.
Soon, just the heart.
You promise?
I promise.
This man told me everything I've done. Oh, he must be the Christ!
You forgot your
Patsy, you told me everything I ever did.
Rabbi, we got food. What would you like?
I have food to eat that you do not know about.
Who got you food?
All right. The Samaritan woman got a fresh start. She was one of the earliest evangelists. Do you know what I like about the Samaritan woman? This woman's life changed after meeting Jesus. She got that fresh start, and a fresh start, not only for her, but for many, many Samaritans because of her testimony. Let's read John chapter 4, verses 39 through 42. Many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." She said she was going to tell everybody, and Jesus was counting on it. And she did just that. She told everyone. You know, that is the best testimony. Tell your story. A lot of people, when we want to share the gospel, we don't know what to say. We get nervous. We don't know what to do. We don't know what to say. Follow the Samaritan's example, the Samaritan woman's example. Tell your story of what Jesus had done for you. In closing, no matter who you are, no matter what you have done, doesn't matter what your age, if you don't know Jesus in a personal way, you can have a fresh start today. My fresh start day was on April 5th, 1985. The reason I know that day, because I wrote it in my Bible. I walked into a church by myself and was alone in this huge church, and I laid on the altar face down. It was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I asked Jesus to forgive me for my sins and come into my life. He answered that prayer. He heard my cry for a fresh start. I got up from the altar and walked out of that church a new man, a new creation. The old Paul Ramo was dead on that altar. And I remember walking out the church doors in the warmth of the sun, hitting my tears on my face. Born again. A new start, a fresh start. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. Fresh start. And that was in April for me. It wasn't even January. So what's that say? You can have a fresh start anytime. Doesn't have to be January. Right? You know, as a follower of Jesus, in my devotions, I listen to a podcast just about every morning. It's Pastor Greg Laurie from Harvest Church in California. And he's really been hammering this to Christians. Stop talking about how to share the gospel, how to do this, how to do that. Do it. That's kind of my New Year's resolution this year. I'm going to tell my story, just like the Samaritan woman, to everybody. Been kind of slack on that. Just do it, he says. Do you want a fresh start? You know, as a follower of Jesus, it's my responsibility to share the good news, to share what I have. And so if you want a fresh start, let's pray this prayer. Just close your eyes and just listen to my prayer and pray it from your heart to your from your spirit. Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I have sinned, and I need your forgiveness. I believe that you died for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I now invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name. If you prayed this prayer, the Bible tells us everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The Bible also says, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. John says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know you have eternal life. Be like the Samaritan woman. Go tell everyone. Tell them what Jesus has done for you. I'm going to end with this verse here. Psalms 32, verse 1. This is out of the Message Bible. The Message version. Psalms 32, verse 1. Count yourself lucky. How happy you must be. You get a fresh start. Your slate's wiped clean. If you prayed this prayer with me a moment ago from your heart, your name is written in the book of life. There's a book in heaven. And if you just prayed that prayer, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you know Jesus personally, your name is in that book. Go tell everyone, because Jesus is counting on it. Amen.